John chapter 14, tremendous chapter in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is really spelling out to us our plan, our purpose for our life. Amen. He's telling us what He came to do. He reveals Himself to the disciples, not just by title, but because of His works. In other words, He told Philip, He said, if you can't believe Me because of what you're hearing, you should believe Me because of what you're seeing. Amen. And He began to let us know that He's deity, the Father in Me. He's doing the works. And so in verse 12, though, the Lord begins to speak to us. And there are three things you just have to get a hold of here that if you're going to live a successful Christian life. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, He says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father." In other words, He's saying, once I go to My Father, you're going to step into My works and begin to do what I do. You're going to do as I do. Amen? Every believer is to be involved in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? We don't get saved just so we can go to heaven. We get saved so we can begin to be involved in the things of God. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't save you out of sin so you could hang on, hold out, and live by the skin of your teeth till you get to heaven someday. Amen? No, He said, if you believe on Me, everyone that believes on Me or believes in Me, the very works, the things that I'm doing, I'm going to expect you to do. Amen. And somebody says, well, what are the greater works? Well, the greater works, I don't think you can do anything greater as an individual, but greater means now we're all getting involved in it. Amen. In other words, the Lord can do something all over the world. When He was here on the earth by Himself, Jesus was the only one that could do a healing. Unless He delegated out some disciples, amen. But you had to go where Jesus was if you wanted to get the miracle. But thank God on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and every one of us became children of God. Every one of us are believers. And now the Lord can do works all over the planet at the same time. You know that the Lord could heal everybody right now on every nation, on every continent, on the planet, because He's got believers, amen. And so the Lord wants us to be involved. So when we get born again, when we make Jesus Lord of our life and become a believer, amen. And here's the thing. Somebody says, I just don't know if I could do that. Well, you know, what do you mean? You don't believe you can't? No, I just don't believe I can do those things. Well, whoever heard of being a believer that don't believe? Amen. Just the term itself should let you know that you can do these things. He says, he that believes in Me, the works that I do, the things that I do, the life that I live, the things that I'm bringing out now, you're going to do because I go to My Father. Amen. In other words, I'm going to go to heaven and be seated at the right hand of God. I'm going to orchestrate the church. And I'm inviting you to come into this. And somebody will come along about this time and say, yeah, but Brother Huffman, that's the 12 disciples. That's the apostles. Well, you know, I beg to differ with you. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus pulled 70 others out and sent them out to do His works. Amen. And then on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in the upper room, and they all went out and started doing His works. Then in Acts chapter 3, actually on that same day, there were several thousand more, then several thousand more in Acts 3, and you know, and right down the line. And also in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? Preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, being a blessing to people. Amen. In other words, it's not just the original 12 that get to do the works and the things of Jesus. Every believer, from the time he goes to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, every one of us get the privilege of getting involved in the ministry of Jesus. Amen. And the reason you got saved should have been so you could get involved with the things of God. Amen. You ever notice that people just get saved to get out of danger? Usually, you know, once the danger is out far enough away from them, they kind of backslide and get back off in the world. Because a crisis is not a good reason to get saved. Are you listening to me? Well, you know, a disaster is not a real good reason just to get saved, because once the disaster is over and you're not afraid it's going to happen again, a lot of times people just fall away. When I was 12 years old, I was sincere, but I went to the altar one night and I prayed for God to forgive me and help me and let me be His child, because I'd been told all my life, once you turn 12, you're on your own. If you die, you go to hell. So I didn't want to go to hell. But you know what? You get up here about 18 and hell looks a long ways off. Are you listening to me? And so I didn't get saved. So whenever I was about 20 years old, I had an encounter with the Lord. And this time, I didn't get saved so I wouldn't go to hell. I got saved because I didn't want to live that way anymore. And I wanted to live for God. And I wanted Jesus to be my Lord. And I wanted to have that in my life. Amen. And it stuck that time because this time, I made a decision to serve God because I believed in Him. And your whole main purpose of coming to Jesus should be because you believe He is the Son of God, and you believe He died for your sins, and God raised Him from the dead, and He's your Lord, and you want to be involved in His life. Amen? In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible talks about Christ and the church as a husband and wife type relationship. Well, how bad would the marriage be if the wife married the husband just because she thought he was handsome but never wanted to get involved with him? How bad would it be for the husband if he just married the wife and they never had anything to come together? And see, a lot of us are trying to live for God in the same way. We want to come to church, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to do anything. We don't want to get involved, amen? But the Lord is saying, if you are a believer, get involved. You're going to be a part of what I'm doing. I'm bringing you into this, hallelujah. And you know what happens whenever you start having intimacy and you start loving the Lord and you start ministering to the Lord? And you start living for the Lord, and you start letting Him use you to bless people. And some people say, well, I don't know if I can lay hands on the sick. Well, you know, that's just one of the works of Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus encouraged people. Amen. The Lord Jesus helped people come out of heartache. He helped a woman that had been married 5 times, divorced 5 times, was living with a man, to get her life straightened out and find out she had self-worth and didn't have to find it in some bad relationship. Amen. And so the Lord, He did all kinds of wonderful things to people and helping them and encouraging them and strengthening them, even whenever they got kicked out. You know, the man that got healed, they kicked him out of the temple, and Jesus received him, restored him, and sent him off, and the guy was happy. He found a demon-possessed man that everybody said was a social outcast, got him set free, and turned him into an evangelist. Are you listening to me? He just cared for people. He found some hungry people, and He fed them one time. Are you listening to me? See, these are the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you know, He loved people. He cared for people. He helped people find forgiveness in their life. He helped people find purpose in their life. And you see, a lot of times we just want to put all these mega miracle works and casting out demons and healing the sick and, you know, preaching to Father. You know, thank God if the Lord wants to use you for that. But you know what? You can do the works of Jesus Christ just by being involved and being a blessing to people and encouraging people. Amen. And letting Him work through you. And sometimes we get into a situation where we say, well, you know, I live for the Lord, but I went through so many things. Well, you know what? Instead of letting the things you've gone through be detrimental to you, why don't you let the Lord heal you from that and help you to use that to help somebody else that's come through that and be a blessing to them, and let them say, if the Lord can do it for me, He can do it for you. And all of a sudden, the things the devil meant for bad in your life all of a sudden become good because you're taking those things and not walking around guilt, condemnation, inferiority, insecurity, but you're using those things as a strength, and you're saying, listen, I bear in my body. Paul was, you know, he was mocked, he was put down, he was beaten, he had all kinds of things going in his life that you and I wouldn't want to go through. And one day, you know, he's writing to the Corinthians, and apparently, you know, he's being criticized. And he's being fussed, and he's saying he's not legit, and these people are attacking him. And Paul says, I don't want to hear a word. I'll paraphrase for you. Paul says, I don't want to hear a word that you've got to say. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was saying? I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I have been stoned. I've been put in jail. I've been treated wrong. But every one of those things, God brought me out, made me stronger, hallelujah. And instead of letting those things defeat me, I'm standing here as a testimony to you today that I'm a believer, and Jesus is my Lord, and what He did for me, He can do for you, so shut up. Hallelujah. Amen? He refused to let anybody shame him from doing what God said he could do. Why? Because when he made Jesus Lord, he got all in. Amen? And I want to tell you something, church. If you're going to live for the Lord, and if you're going to be successful in your walk with Him, you've got to get all in, because you're going to go through some tough times, and you're going to find out if you really believe. Come on, say amen or oh me, but it's so anyway. Somebody says, I ain't saying amen to that. Well, you don't have to. It'll happen whether you say amen or not. You mean God will do that to me? No, that's false teaching, false doctrine. God doesn't do those things to you. There is a devil out there that's a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life, and he'll do everything he can. The Apostle Peter said that he's your adversary. He's your opponent. He's your enemy, and he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what does he go on to say, though? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. James says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? Meaning what? You're going to be attacked, but if you're a believer in the midst of that attack and still letting it destroy you, you're going to do the works of Jesus and come out of that thing victorious. Amen? Come on, give me a good amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Now look what the Lord says. He says, first of all, I'm calling everyone, all my believers, to be involved with me, to do things that I would have you to do, to be a blessing, to live my life and let my light shine through you. Then he says down here in the next verse, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, here's the thing you've got to get a hold of. In these two verses here, the Lord's not talking about prayer. Actually, if you do a little study in the Greek, you'll find out that the word ask there really could have been translated, if you'll demand anything that you'll write in my name, I'll see to it that you get it. So the word ask there isn't a petition. The word ask there is more of an authoritative using the name of Jesus to get something done. And what the Lord is doing here, if you're a believer, he's giving you and me the right or the authority to use his name to do his works. Are you listening to me? In other words, you can see the difference here. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen? He will do it. But now in John chapter 16 and verse 23, he said it like this, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So in John 16, 23, Jesus is talking about prayer. He says over here in John 16, 23, that if you ask the Father anything in his name, the Father will give it to you. In other words, the Father will operate with you. Amen? But here in John chapter 14 and verse 13, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he's telling us two different things here in these two verses. Amen? In other words, in verse 14, he says, since you're a believer in verse 12, and you're involving yourself in my life and in my ministry, I'm giving you the privilege of using my name and to get your rights and to do what I've called you to do. And when you say in the name of Jesus, be done, the Lord says, it will be as if I'm myself doing that, and I will see to it that it comes to pass for you. Amen. An example that we have there is in Acts chapter 3. Remember when Peter and John are going to the temple to pray? And they come up the steps, and there's a lame man that's been lame from his birth, and he's there begging alms. Remember the guy sitting there? And Peter looked at him and said, look on us. Talking about him and John. And the Bible says that the man gave him his attention, expecting to receive something. And then Peter comes with that famous line. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. And what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And later on it says it was faith in the name that got him healed. Notice Peter didn't pray for the lame man. He told him to get up in the name of Jesus. He demanded the man to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? He's acting on John 14, verses 13 and 14. He has the right to use the name. Somebody says, you mean he was demanding of Jesus that this man, yeah, he was demanding of the devil to loose this man and let him go, and demanding that symptoms of that disease that had held him in bondage to be broken and for the power of God to hit him. And Jesus backed him when he did it. Amen? See, you're not demanding anything of God. God's not the one who put him there and made him a cripple. Are you listening? It was the devil. He's the one who came in and did that. But thank God you and I have authority in the name of Jesus over the devil. Amen? You and I have authority in the name of Jesus over the attacks of the enemy. And we need to get it in our heart that, Lord, I'm a believer. And I'm going to be involved in doing the things you want me to do. And I thank you that you give me your name to use against the adversary so that I can speak in your name. And you will be there with me to make it come to pass. Amen. That's the same thing in Mark chapter 16 when Jesus said over there, he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he goes on, he says, in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? Meaning what? We lay hands on people in the name of Jesus, demand the sickness to leave, and the Lord makes it come to pass. It's our hands, our mouth, His name, and His power. Amen? But His name and His power has to work through our mouth and our hands. Because now we're His body and He's exercising His authority through us. Amen? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So you and I need to move in our place as a believer and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the right to use your name. And there are times I'm going to speak to that in the name of Jesus. Then there are other times I'm going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And I have the right to do both. Isn't that good? Come on. Say amen, somebody. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Huffman. Good. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what he's talking about here? He's talking about you and I living the believer's life. He's talking about us being involved. He's talking about us not being weak and beggarly Christians and just barely getting along, but believers that trust God and walk with God and have authority and have the right to walk in His name and represent Him on this earth. Amen? And that's what you and I need to rise up to. That's where we need to grow to in our faith with God. But then he doesn't stop there. Look on. Let's read on down here. He says here in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Notice that? This is how you tell if somebody loves the Lord or not. In fact, John picked this up and wrote over in his first epistle over around the second chapter, and he says this. He says, you know, if we love God and keep His commandments, you know, then the love is perfected. If we don't love God, we won't keep His commandments. And so the Lord said, if you love me, keep my word. In other words, if you love me, let my word begin to determine your life. Begin to model your life after my word. Yeah, but Pastor Evan, you don't understand what they did to me. You can't make somebody else live the word. Amen? I can't make you live the word, but I can make me live the word. Yeah, but if I live the word and they're doing the wrong thing, then I'll just get smashed and just done dirty and wrong. No, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the person living in sin, doing the wrong thing for the devil, is going to have more power in that situation than you? You need to go back and readjust your faith. Amen? Because you see, here's the thing. Yeah, the devil's going to be there. Yes, the devil's going to try to beat you down. Yes, the devil's going to try to take advantage of you through somebody who doesn't want to live the word. But you know what you do? You just act on the word and live the word right in the midst of that thing. And when it's all said and done, yes, there's going to be some hurts. Yes, there's going to be some sadness. Yes, there's going to be some struggles. But you know what? On the end, you're going to be strong. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be full of life. And you're going to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I know that I've done the right thing, and God, thank you that you're for me. Amen. And you're going to walk through that thing victorious. Hallelujah. See, folks, you and I have to understand that if we love God, we have to make a decision whether anybody else does or not. We're going to keep His commandments. I'm going to practice His word. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what. There have been times me practicing the word in my younger days, it really saved some people. What are you talking about? Well, you know, praise God. I mean, you know, I played ball all my life. I was, rough and ready. I worked out all the time. I was in pretty good shape. And I walked around. My wife tells you, she said, you had the biggest attitude of anybody I ever met when I first met you. Well, you know, I grew up poor, grew up, you know, a broken home, and grew up, you know, having struggles and had things. But I'll tell you what, by the time I got 12, I started getting a little bit of size on me, and I started getting a little spunk in me, and I had some uncles that were the funds, and they didn't teach me right. Hallelujah. They taught me hit first and ask questions later, you know, and stuff. And I can remember after I got saved and filled the Holy Ghost and started making my decision, I was going to serve the Lord. And there's some people said some things. And there's a couple of times I said, it's a good thing. You're blessed that I'm a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Because I'd knock you into the mire if I wasn't going to do it. Anybody here besides me ever been that way? Come on. Come on. See, at least there's three or four honest people in here. And the ones that didn't raise their hand said, yeah, it's me. I'd like to have shot them. Yeah, look, yeah. No. But you see, by doing the word, what you're doing is you're keeping yourself from yielding to the enemy who's going to create the problem and make it worse. Are you hearing me? And ultimately, you're going to come out the head, not the tail, because God always honors His word and watches over it to make it work for you. Amen? And in fact, the Bible says going through a test and trial is no fun at all. Amen? I mean, if you're going through a test and trial right now and it's miserable and you think it's a good time, we're going to pray for you later on after the service. Amen. That's why James said, when you find yourself in a test or trial, count it all joy. Why? Because there's not a lot of joy in it, but you count it all joy. Why are you counting it all joy? Because you love the Lord, and in the midst of that test, you're going to act like a believer and do His works, and that means you're going to keep the word. That means that even though I don't feel like joy, I'm going to count it all joy. Even though I don't feel like rejoicing, I'm going to rejoice anyway. Amen? Now, why is it so important that as a believer, I just keep on acting on the word and doing the word? And somebody says, yeah, well, I don't feel like it. I feel like a hypocrite when I do that. But wait a minute. Were Paul and Silas hypocrites in Acts chapter 16 whenever they got beaten and thrown in jail? Were they hypocrites? No, they were preaching the gospel. They were doing the right thing. They were believers doing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they got beaten, judged unjustly, and thrown in prison, and put their feet in stocks, meaning they had to sit in that dirt and with their hands chained and their feet stocked, and there they are at midnight. You know what they did? At midnight, you've read the story. You know what I'm preaching on here. You've heard it before. At midnight, what did they do? They prayed and sang praises unto God. You know what they did at midnight? And at midnight, they loved God and kept His commandments. Against the flesh, against the circumstances, against what people had done to them. What did Paul and Silas decide to do? I'm going to act like a believer, stand on the word, and love God more than I hate the situation. Amen. I'm going to let love and God's word and God's goodness operate in my life. And in the midst of this, I'm going to praise God anyway. Amen. I'm not going to let what they did to me determine my direction, my attitude, or who I am. Jesus is my Lord. Amen? And I'm a believer. Therefore, in this situation, I'm going to act like a believer. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to do what His Word says, even though it might be hard. And you know what God did? He shook that jail, turned that situation around, and brought Paul and Silas out in victory. Amen? You know what will happen to you and me if we decide that we're going to walk in the authority of the name of Jesus, and we're going to act like believers, and we're going to do what the Word says and love God, no matter how tough it gets, God's going to shake our situation and bring us out victorious and make us more than conquerors. Amen? Somebody says, how can you say that? Because God watches over His Word to perform it. And if we act on His Word, He will make it work in our life. Amen? Praise God. Now, look what the Lord has done here. This third thing we need to grab a hold of real quickly. If I'm going to live like a believer, act like a believer, do the works of Jesus, let Him be seen in my life, and keep His commandments and love Him, how many of you know that might be a tall order? Anybody here besides me might have a little struggle with this, or have you had a struggle with this? Yeah. Come on. See, I'm preaching you right now, and you're sitting there going, oh, Pastor, I think that's kind of impossible. You're preaching something I can't do. And you know what? You're exactly right. I'm preaching something that you cannot do in yourself. Amen. By yourself. In your own strength or in your own power or your own ability. You can't do it. You can't. Are you listening to me? You can't do it. And the Lord knew you couldn't do it. He's telling you these things are available to you. As a believer, you're going to be able to do my works. You're going to be able to act like me. And in other words, if I'm going to do the works of Jesus, when they're calling me names, instead of me getting into a battle, I can turn around and walk through the crowd and walk away and go do something else. That's what Jesus did. That's one of His works, wasn't it? Amen. Even though I'm hungry and I'm sitting there thirsty, somebody comes along and has a problem, guess what? Instead of me being concerned about my need at that moment, I'm going to take care of that person's need and help them in that situation. And God's going to still bless the city. And I'm going to come out of that victorious. Why? Because I'm a believer. I'm doing the works of Jesus. Amen? I'm living my life for Jesus. And He's given me His authority. And now He's told me to keep His commandments. But He didn't say keep my commandments when it's all easy. He said keep my commandments. Period. And I don't know about you, but folks, I want to tell you what, I found myself in places where it was hard for me to keep God's commandment. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Huh? In fact, there have been a couple of times that I haven't. Thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. And I've had to go back to God and ask Him to help me in that situation. But the Lord speaks to us this next thing, and this is something you and I have to get a hold of. If we're going to live John 14, 12 through 14 and 15, if we're going to be believers, follow Jesus in our life, do His works, use His name, be a blessing to people, and keep His commandments and love God, we need this next thing desperately. What is it? Let's read it. He goes on down here in verse 16. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans or comfortless or bereaved. I will come to you. What's He talking about? He says, listen, you can't really successfully live this Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. The Holy Spirit is there. And in fact, you know, the King James brings it out, comforter. He's there to comfort you when you need it. Amen. The Amplified says He's not only your comforter, He's your counselor. Anybody ever been in a situation where you needed some good counsel real quick? Hallelujah. The Bible says He's also your standby. You know what that means? He's just standing by waiting. Amen. When you find yourself, what am I going to do? He's standing by to help. Hallelujah. He's right there standing by you. Praise God. He's your strengthener. Hallelujah. Anybody here besides me ever needed some strength to get you through that situation, to strengthen your faith, to strengthen your resolve? He's your strengthener. And He says here, He's your helper. He's one who's called alongside to help you. Praise God. He's come to help you and me. The Holy Spirit is sent by God to you and me to help us to live for Jesus, to keep His commandments, to walk in His love, and to do His works and let people see Christ in our lives. He's come to help us to be a doer of the word when it's not easy to be a doer of the word. Come on. He's come to help us to stand strong when everybody else is trying to pull us down. He's come to strengthen us in our walk with God. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to you and me as a believer and filling us, is so that we can walk in the power of God and be keepers and doers of the Word of God, no matter how tough it gets. Amen. Amen? Now, let me show you something. Is this important to the Lord? Look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. This is after the resurrection in John 14. That's before the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus from John 14, 15, and 16 is teaching the importance of us having a walk with the Holy Spirit involved in our Christian life. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, this is after the resurrection of the Lord. And He comes and He speaks to the disciples. And listen to what He says. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. Well, when did they hear it? That's John 14. That's the promise. If you have a reference Bible, it will take you back to John 14, 16, and 17, usually right there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Then He goes down here in the next verse. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. No, see, He's talking about a baptism. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming in. You're being immersed into the Spirit. To be baptized means to be immersed into. In other words, coming into the fullness. I mean, to the point, if you're fully baptized, that means all of you are underwater. Amen? Amen? Like a friend of mine one time, he was baptizing somebody and he didn't get part of his heritage. He just took him back down real quick. Hallelujah. He said, we want to get them all. Hallelujah. And you know, this is the thing. What the Lord is saying here to them, He said, listen, I know I've commissioned you. I've told you to do my works. But it is of utter importance that you wait until you receive this promise that I made to you that's going to come for you. Because you need to be totally immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're going to live this life and do these works. You need the Holy Ghost helping you. Amen? Why do I need Him, Pastor? We'll look in verse 8. Look what He says. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Notice that. The King James and the New King James says you shall receive power. Most of them do. The Amplified says you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why do I need this power, this dunamis, this dynamic power? That word power there is dunamis. It means a dynamic, miracle-working power, a power to overcome, a power to defeat your enemies, a power to set people free, a power that you don't possess within your own self. See, the name of Jesus gives me the authority, but the Holy Spirit gives me the power. Hallelujah. And so he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. One translation in my, it says in the reference area, it says, and you shall be witnesses or my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. In other words, you and I are to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can receive the power to witness and do the works of Jesus Christ and to keep his commandments and let his light shine and live for him. Amen? And I want to tell you where we're needing to come to, folks. Every born-again believer needs to be born of the Spirit and then empowered by the Spirit to live this work for Jesus. Amen. And we need to get back into the point that if we aren't fully filled up with the power of the Holy Ghost operating in our lives, we should come before God. Jesus said in John 7, 37, 38, and 39, he said, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. Till out of your innermost being begins to flow rivers of living water. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a church that is no longer just consumed with itself, but a church that is consumed with pouring out to others. Because the Holy Spirit comes to help us not just be blessed ourselves, but to be blessed and be a blessing to others. So that we can reach out to the hurting. We can reach out to the people that are struggling. We can reach out and be encouragers. And when we find ourselves at midnight in a bad situation, we have the strength to praise God and trust him in that mess. Are you listening to me? Knowing that God's going to turn that thing around for us if we just keep our eyes on him. And we become lights and witnesses unto Jesus. And we become his witnesses. And people begin to see a boldness about us. You know, whenever they brought Peter and John before the council and they asked Peter, said, we want to know how you did this. And Peter looked at him and said, listen, if you want to know by what name or power we did this, let me tell you. It was through the name of Jesus Christ. And there's no other name under heaven whereby anybody can get saved except the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that when these religious folks saw the boldness of the Apostle Peter, when they saw his boldness, they took note and said, this guy's untrained. He's not been through the schools we've been through, but there's a power about him. He's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus. Now, why would they say that? Because all of a sudden, Peter was answering them just like Jesus had. Remember? Whenever they would try to corner Jesus, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Remember John 4:34, the Bible says that Jesus, 3:34, Jesus said, the Bible says he had the Spirit without measure. What did he do? Jesus didn't start his ministry till the Holy Ghost came down on him. Even whenever they were questioned, said, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince. No, Jesus said, if I'm casting out these demons by the power of the Spirit of God, what are you going to say when your sons and daughters do it? What did he say? He said, I overcome all these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's power operating in my life. And now the Lord Jesus is speaking to us here before he ascends to heaven. The last thing he's saying is this. You need to receive this promise from the Father. You need the Holy Spirit in his power operating in your life. Because he's going to come and help you to live this life and do my works and let my light shine through you and cause people to see me in this earth through you. Amen? And that's why we're believers. So if that's my purpose for believing, why wouldn't I seek this? Amen? Well, is it available? Let's read a couple more chapters. Look here in Acts chapter 2. Drop down here, and let's pick it up in verse 31. And here the Apostle Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and listen to what he says. And he says, and he foreseeing this, spoken to the people, saying about the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. In other words, Jesus would not be down in the lower regions of the damned long enough, you know, to be corrupted, and his flesh wouldn't lay in the tomb long enough to rot. Amen? In other words, Jesus was going to do a quick work against the devil. And he's talking about his resurrection. And then he comes up here and he says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. We're witnessing of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. We want you to know that Jesus is exactly who God said he is. Then he goes on, he says this, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God. He said that we could do his works when he's in, because he's going to the Father. And now Peter's saying he's exalted to the right hand of the Father. This is what he says. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now Peter's talking about this promise. Jesus said he'd pray and the Father would send the Holy Spirit. Then he told him a couple days before this, he said, stay here until you receive the promise. Now, Peter is saying, now he sent forth the promise. And look what he says, of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this what you now see and hear. Now drop down here to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So what is Peter saying? He's saying, listen, everything Jesus said has come to pass. Everything Jesus said he was going to do has now come to pass. In fact, the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come forth, and that which you now see and hear is here. In other words, the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. You don't have to ask God to do it anymore. You don't have to seek God anymore. You don't have to beg God anymore. You don't have to wait anymore. He is here. Hallelujah. And so he then says, and he's come to make us witnesses to show you that the same Jesus that was crucified, God has now raised from the dead, and he's Lord. You know what their response was? The same response you and I should have when we hear this. What was their response? Let's read the next verse. Look what he says, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, look at this, to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Ooh, that's the question, isn't it? Let's just make it personal. What shall I do? What am I going to do with this truth? I mean, if this is real, I'm going to have to make a decision here. If Jesus has really died on the cross and been raised from the dead, and he's ascended on high and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's poured out the Holy Spirit, and he told us to receive the Holy Spirit and to be endued with power and to be a believer and witness for him, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What do you need to do about it? Because you see, they're saying, there's kind of a double question here. Number one is, what am I going to do about this? And then, how do I deal with this? In other words, if I want in on this, what do I need to do to get it? Amen? How do I get in this? See, you and I have to want in. The reason I'm preaching this to you tonight is I want you to have a desire to get in. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you see, if you really want in, God's got the way open for you. And I don't want just in the door. And apparently you don't either, because I noticed that the doors into the sanctuary, there's nobody standing right there at the door. You came on in and was seated. Well, Jesus said, I'm the door. But a lot of us are standing right there at the door and haven't came on in. But he's inviting us to come on in. And so Peter's going to answer that question. What do I need to do? If this is real and I want to be a part of this, what do I need to do? Look what he says. Let's pick it up here. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice the first thing he says, repent. Now, repent in its simplest form just means to change what you're doing. Okay? Turn from what you're doing and do something else. For instance, you might repent for drinking alcohol and stuff because the doctor came to you and said that's you know, you can't do this, or it's going. And so because it was bad, you made a decision to turn from that. Or, you know, you turn from doing certain drugs because, you know, it's killing you, or certain things. And so you repent. In other words, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn and do something. I you know, they come and says you're going to have to change and quit eating this because, you know, it's messing you up and you have to eat like this. So you know what you do? You repent. In other words, I stop eating that way because it's bad for me, and I start eating healthy because the doctor gave me, and I make a decision that I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a lifestyle change here. Amen? In the simplest form, repent just means make a lifestyle change. Okay? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore because it's killing me. And so therefore, I'm going to turn and do something healthy with my life. In the simplest form, that's what repent means. And so in taking it in that look, Peter first says, the first thing you got to do is make a decision. You want a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. Because you're going to be living for Jesus now, not living for yourself. You're going to be believing Jesus now, not believing yourself. You, first of all, if you want this, it's going to cost you something. You have to make a change. See, repentance isn't, God, forgive me, and then go out and live any way you want to. Repentance means, Lord, I want a lifestyle change. When I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ two nights before, I had an encounter with the Lord in my dorm room at East Tennessee State when I was playing ball down there. The Lord had spoke to me, but two nights before, I saw some friends, and they were going to church, and some of the football team was laughing and said, "Hey, guys, go to church, they're missing out." And you know what? I was as backslid as a buzzard at the same time, and I'm standing there, and I looked at my buddies, and I said, "Shut up. They're right, we're wrong, leave them alone." Then we all went out and got something to drink. I was a hypocrite. I was religious. I knew what was right, but I hadn't made a decision to change. Are you listening to me? But a couple of nights later, after going out and partying, I came back, and the next day I was so full of remorse. And finally, that evening I said, "Lord, I am so sick. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to do these things anymore. Jesus, help me." And you know what? I was laying there in my bed about 9 o'clock that night, and the Lord spoke to me and made himself real to me and showed me those two guys and said, "Go to them and have them to pray." And they led me to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I believed in my heart and confessed Jesus my Lord, and I made a decision, a lifestyle change that night. I chose, I want to be a believer. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live in drugs. I don't want to live in alcohol. I don't want to live out here and doing crazy things. I don't want to live out here fighting. I don't want to live out here being a reprobate. I am tired. I don't want to do that. And so the first thing Peter tells these people is this: you have to make a life. You got to want to make a lifestyle change. Because live for Jesus is more than just come to church, get your name on the roll, get water baptized, and sit in a pew. It's the Lord taking you out of the kingdom of darkness, placing you in the kingdom of God, and he becomes your Lord and King. Amen? And now he's expecting you to act like a believer. So the first thing, what's Peter say? He says, repent. You need to want to make a lifestyle change. But then you can use that, like I said, you can use that for food. You can use that for, you know, places you go. You can use that for, you know, things that are bothering you. You know, repent. A lot of us make a lot of, you know. And somebody says, what's the difference in repentance and remorse? A diet and a lifestyle change. What do you mean a diet? A diet is something you do until you lose the weight, and then you go out and reward yourself with a pizza. Amen? Somebody came up to me and said, "Pastor Darrell, you look like you've lost some weight. How much weight have you lost?" I said, "Oh, about 400 or 500 pounds. And they said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, over the last 60 years, I've lost at least 400 or 500 pounds, but I keep putting it back on." I didn't, you know, because I hadn't made a lifestyle change. Amen. And so many people are in and out of church and in and out with God is because they're not wanting to first make a lifestyle change. I made a lifestyle change. I made Jesus my Lord. It means I surrendered everything to him. And then the second thing is this: Peter qualifies the repentance. He says, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In other words, get born again. Because you can't make the change in your life that you want without giving your heart to Jesus. Amen? So he says the second step is now give your life to Christ. Give your heart to Jesus. Make him Lord of your life. Follow him in water baptism. Let the world know that you've the old man is dead and you've been raised up and Jesus is now your Lord. And then he says the third thing, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you're going to live this, you're going to have the helper working in your life. You have to have some help. But thank God, he said, you don't have to live this on your own. I've sent the Holy Spirit, and he's come to help you. Because you see up here in verses 32 and 33, he says, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. Amen? So he says, receive. And then, you know what he says in the next verse? He says this, for the promise. See, he goes right back to the promise. He's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to as many as are far off, as many as are called. In other words, Peter's saying this. You decide right now that you want to change how you live, how you conduct life, your attitudes, and you're going to turn to Christ. You're going to give your life to Jesus, and then tell you what you do. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and let him help you. And then get Jesus in your house. Because, see, Jesus doesn't want to just save you. He wants to save you and your kids and your grandkids and your mom and your dad. You know, the blessing of the Lord goes forward as well as backward. You know, since I've given my heart to the Lord and gotten filled with the Spirit and stood on the Word, you know that my parents are much stronger Christians now than they were when I was growing up. You know, we've led family members back to the Lord. And then we've gone forward and reached people, hallelujah, that we never knew before. Because God will work in all directions. But you have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice that Peter said, he has poured forth that which you now see and hear. You know what happened? There was not only an inward power that came into them, but there were outward manifestations. You know, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, it shows up outwardly. Sure it does. It'll show up outwardly. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, look what happens over here in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues and as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. One of the things that will happen is this. You begin to speak with tongues, and then you get down here in verse 11. It says, we hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. In other words, the Holy Ghost will just fill you with the joy and the anointing, give you a heavenly language, and all of a sudden you'll be glorifying God. You know, in Acts chapter 10, whenever the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius' household, it said they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. If it's the Holy Ghost, guess what? He's going to magnify God in your life. He's never going to diminish God in your life. Amen? So what I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I need the helper. I need someone to help me to be a believer. I need someone to help me to keep God's commandments. I need someone to help me to love and be a witness and to be able to do the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. I need someone to strengthen me when I feel weak. I need somebody to comfort me when it looks like all my friends have walked away. I need somebody to be my advocate and help plead my case when I messed up. Amen. Amen? I need someone to counsel me when I'm needing to make a decision that's real strong, going to have consequences. And I always need somebody standing by. Because if I happen to fall over, I like to have somebody standing by close enough they can catch me. Amen? Amen. And not only do I need him to help me on these things, I need him to help me to have boldness and power to let people around me know that I've changed my life. Jesus is my Lord, and what he's doing for me, he can do for you. Amen.